I do have a sermon about birds. I think it's for next week, though. And it's actually about geese. I'm glad we're not overrun with geese this morning. That'd be a whole new ball game then, wouldn't it? We are going to start next Sunday morning looking at some things from the outdoors. And I think the first one is geese, followed by fishing. And then on opening day weekend, we're going to talk about being a camouflaged Christian. So you deer hunters, finish up your hunting nice and early and come on whether you're in camouflage or not. Wear your hunter orange that morning maybe to church. How did you do in English class growing up? It was never one of my favorite subjects, and I'm sure I abused the English language every single day of my life, without a doubt. But I guess I did all right. I learned enough to get by. This morning, our task is to search out one little word from the Bible. One little word. And my hope is that once we finish this morning, you'll start to take notice of that word a little bit more as you read the Bible. I hope it will pop out to you a little bit more. It's such an important word that the Ford Motor Company has started making commercials featuring this three little word. If you've been watching TV at all, you've probably seen some of the commercials. In one of them, a man and a woman are driving along in their car and they're looking for a place to eat. And so they ask the car for the nearest Chinese restaurant. And the lady, I believe it's the lady that says, "Wow, this car is voice activated and it still gets great gas mileage." And he says, "Yeah, it's better than or, one or the other." And they go on to talk and say, it'd be kind of like eating at a Chinese restaurant and you go and you have sweet or sour chicken. And then the scene cuts to them eating chicken at a Chinese restaurant and the waiter is asking them, "Are you enjoying the sour chicken?" And he says, "No. We're not enjoying the sour chicken at all. Sweet and sour." It's that word "and." They decide at the end of that commercial that "and" is better. "And" is better. It's such a simple word, that word "and." And yet we've been learning about it for so many years. I bet many of you remember the Schoolhouse Rock, conjunction, junction. That's one of the words from that. I see a couple of heads back there nodding. The word "and." It's a conjunction that joins important things, important concepts. Webster's Dictionary tells us that "and" is sometimes used to join two verbs together. Two verbs, and it makes them, those two verbs, equivalent to one another. They're two important verbs. One is just as important as the other. We sometimes sing the song "Trust and Obey," right? It's the use of "and" there that joins those two things together. They become, it's just as important to obey as it is to trust. Trusting God means very little if there's no obedience, right? In the scripture reading this morning, and there in Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rains fell and the floods came and the wind blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." This is Jesus's, this is the big finish to Jesus's Sermon on the Mount. Turn back just a couple of chapters to chapter 5. I want to quickly just hit some places in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talks about the fact he didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets. He came to fulfill all those things that the prophets had said. And in chapter 5, starting in verse 3, he covers what we call the Beatitudes. He lets his followers know, hey, what kind of person do you need to be? This is it. Verse 13, he starts talking about, hey, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light. You are a city that's set up on a hill, cannot be hid. Verse 21, he starts talking about personal relationships. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't swear by anything here on earth. Always tell the truth, right? Turn the other cheek. Love your enemies. He says some hard things on the Sermon on the Mount, doesn't he? In chapter 6, he starts talking about prayer. When you pray, don't just pray meaningless repetitions. Pray like this. And he says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He says, "Don't be anxious for your life, because God will provide for you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Above everything else, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Right? Chapter 7, "Don't judge others, lest you be judged." He says, get that log out of your eye so that you can see clearly before you help a brother with some little speck that's in his. Take out that log. He says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you shall find. In verse 7, it says, "For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be open." Man, there's some good ands in those verses. Some good ands encouraging us to pray and how to pray. Look in verse 13. He starts talking about the narrow gate there. Starts talking about good fruit and bad fruit. He says, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Then in verse 24, a lot of the versions of the Bible that you read use the word "therefore." And I know most of you have heard that before, or heard this before, but when you see that word, you need to back up just a minute and review what's been going on. And you need to see, because there's about to be a little bit of a summary that goes on, or there's a big finish happening right here. They used to say that when you see the word "therefore" in the Bible, you need to stop and see what it's there for. Right? They're exactly right. "Therefore." It means "for this reason." It's referring to something. I've already stated all these things. Here's the conclusion. In chapter 7 and verse 24, Jesus' big finish, after all these tough things that he has said, he says, "Everyone who hears these words and does them." If you hear these words of mine and you do them, then you're going to be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock, right? The winds will come, the rain will fall, they're going to beat on that house, but that house does not fall because it's built on the rock. What concepts did Jesus join together there in verse 24? Hearing and doing, right? Hearing and doing. Jesus is saying, all right, you've heard all these things that I said. Now what are you going to do with it? It's the same idea that James echoes in chapter 1, verse 22. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, right? It's not just enough to know what Jesus says. It's doing what he says. Then we have that foundation that's built on the rock. So when the rains come and the wind blows, we will not be shaken. We will not be moved. And you know, the rains come in our lives, don't they? We have storms all the time, every day. Satan tries to, he tries to rain on our parade, doesn't he? He challenges us. He tempts us. If we haven't built our lives solidly, then we are like the foolish man that Jesus goes on to talk about. And our house does what? Goes splat. Just like we used to sing. Houses crash sometimes. Those crashes happen in our lives. Sometimes those crashes tear marriages apart. Sometimes they just destroy lives. Sometimes they turn brothers and sisters against one another. Those crashes come. We have to have both parts of this equation that Jesus puts forth. If all we do is hear Jesus' words, they mean nothing really. If we just hear, they mean nothing. We have to hear and do. That's what makes the impact in people's lives. We have to understand the importance of doing, like Jesus says here. That's what makes the difference. Those of you that own exercise equipment, you understand that concept, right? Just going out and buying the exercise bike, that's great, isn't it? Doesn't mean a thing, though, does it? It's the hearing, or buying in that case, and doing. That exercise bike just sits in the corner. It's worthless. Paul talks about the word of the cross as foolishness to some people. That's the difference. In another commercial that the Ford Motor Company does, it's two friends and they're zipping along through town in this yellow Ford Focus, I guess it is. And they're talking about getting great gas mileage and the fact that this car that they're driving is turbocharged. You can get both those things, turbocharged and great gas mileage. They talk about, yeah, it's better than if it was one or the other. And one of the guys says, yeah, it'd be kind of like going and looking at black or white photography. And the next scene, they show them looking at a gallery and they're looking at the wall and there's a canvas, a photograph there that's just entirely black. And another one next to it entirely white. And the person's explaining how wonderful those pictures are. Black or white photography. They decide that and is better as well at the end of their commercial. Turn over to Colossians 1:9 with me this morning. Hearing and doing the will of God is a great and wise thing. But Paul tells the church here in Colossae, he mentions that these good works need to be accompanied by something else. There needs to be more there than good works. I'll start reading in verse 9. Paul says, "And so from the day we have heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy." Did you see what he said there? In verse 10, bearing fruit for every good work and also increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice how Paul takes these good works and he adds to them this knowledge of God. We are to increase our understanding of God. When we look at these verses, I want to center on a word there, that word increasing. Lots of times when we look at this verse and we see this word, we understand that word to mean that our knowledge is growing larger in size, right? Increasing, something that grows, something that's continually moving. That makes sense to us. We understand that, but there's more there. If you keep going back and looking at some of the Greek resources, you see that this word increasing, it means more than that. It means something that grows to the extreme limit. Think about that just a minute. Something that grows to the maximum. That's a little bit different idea, isn't it? It's just not a matter of our knowledge that's ever getting larger. It's this idea of something extreme, limit, maxing out. You see on TV, well, I bet a lot of people in here use coupons. But when you watch on TV about extreme couponing, that's something different, isn't it? There's something different. There's a whole nother level there. Those people are maxing out. They're maxing out. When we watch Extreme Makeover, that home edition, those people are not going in and changing doorknobs and handles. Those people are going out and knocking in walls. They're redoing an entire house. If you want to see the best weather photos on the internet, you don't just go to the Weather Channel. You go find an extreme weather, right? And that's where you see the sharks and the tornadoes, right? Hurricanes. Paul's not just talking about us having a knowledge of God that is always growing. He's talking about us maxing out, learning everything we're able to learn. He's not talking about us reading the Bible every time we come to church. None of us are going to max out that way with knowledge of God. That bar is not set high enough if that's our goal. We have to be more than that. In order for the church and in order for us as individuals to fight against Satan's forces, in order for us to have a relationship with God that deepens and deepens, we have to do that. We have to be overflowing with knowledge. The same Greek word in the Bible is sometimes translated as grow. When Peter says, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it kind of has this calming effect on us. Grow in the grace and knowledge. But when you change that in your mind to think about this word extreme, if you think of the word extreme, upper limit of something, that gives the whole verse a whole other meaning, a whole new perspective to grow in grace and knowledge. Luke writes that Jesus grew and became strong in spirit. It's the same Greek word there, grew, sometimes increasing. John says, I must decrease and what? Christ must increase. Christ must max out. One of my favorites is probably found in 2 Peter. If you'll turn over there with me. 2 Peter 1, we'll start in verse 5. Peter says, as he writes, he says, for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with temperance or self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness with love. Notice verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord. Have those qualities, but also max them out. Do you see? He added the word and in there as well, didn't he? These qualities are yours and are increasing. Have those qualities, but make them max out to the upper potential. My favorite, I think probably my favorite commercial that Ford has been doing in this, I haven't seen very much. I don't know why. But it's a man and a woman, and they're getting ready to go on vacation, and they're loading their Ford Explorer. And they're talking about how it's great that it can seat 7 people and still get good gas mileage. And the woman says, yeah, that's better than one or the other, right? She said, that'd be kind of like going on vacation and you end up at wet or wild instead of wet and wild. And they cut to the scene of, well, there's a rundown park and these kids are standing there and a man is standing there. There's a kiddie pool in the background, and I think a goat in the background. There's chickens running around everywhere. And he says, y'all want the hose or the bucket? And the little kid standing in front of him says, I want the bucket. So he reaches down and gets a little bucket, you know, about like this, and right in his face. They decide, yeah, and is better. Wet and wild, not just wet or wild. In Acts chapter 2, if you want to turn that way, we have the account of a remarkable day. A remarkable day that was the turning point in those people that were following Christ. It's a turning point in their lives. 50 days after the Passover, it's the day of Pentecost. People would be there from all over the world to celebrate. The 12 apostles, Judas had been replaced by Matthias, so the 12 apostles are gathered together when this terrific wind comes down, fills the place where they're at. Luke says they saw tongues that look like fire come down and rest on each one of them. And immediately the apostles are filled with the Holy Spirit, who caused them to speak in tongues. The crowds of visitors astonished because every pilgrim, every person that had come from all over the world heard the apostles speak in his own language. Some even accused them of being drunk, and Peter goes, no, we're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But then, empowered by the Holy Spirit, Peter preaches. Peter stands up and boldly preaches to those people assembled there, explaining about Jesus Christ and about God's plan of salvation. The audience is moved by the words that he says. And in verse 37 there, talks about the details. He says, when they heard, they were cut to the heart. Some versions say they were pricked in the heart. And then they asked, what shall we do? Brothers, what do we need to do? Listen to Peter's response to them. And notice the ands that join all these things together. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Keep listening. It says, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them or encourage them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Keep listening at what they did. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had everything in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You want to replicate the New Testament church? You need to read those verses a few more times. All the things that were going on, all the things that they were doing. There's at least a year's worth of sermons there in Ann's, don't you think? These people felt this conviction of the terrible things that they had done wrong. And they say, what do we need to do? And Peter stands up. He says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. It's amazing to hear people today try and take those 10 words and move them around in different orders and do something with them. These are some of the clearest words in the Bible, and yet they're some of the most controversial when you start talking to people. Everybody agrees with this first part of the equation. Just about. Everybody agrees you need to repent. You need to change your ways. You need to, the direction you go is not the right one. You need to turn and go a different way. Almost everybody agrees with that. But then Peter says, and. Big bold letters on my iPad anyway. Repent and what? Be baptized. Peter speaks two things there. There's a condition of repent. That's one condition that needs to happen. Baptism is another condition. And despite some people's feelings, I think some people are surprised when you mention that. They shouldn't be surprised. Jesus tells Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he says, you have to be born of water and the Spirit. Right? In Mark 16:16, Jesus says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Those two things are joined by this one word, and. We don't need to leave out. It's just a little word, isn't it? We don't need to leave that out of the Bible. When Jesus is tempted, he quotes Deuteronomy. What does he say? He says, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that's the word I'm living by. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The proverb writer says, every word of God proves true. It's Proverbs 30, verse 5. Don't leave the "and" out of anything that you read in the Bible. Jesus in Luke 11, 28, he said, blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. Hear and keep it. That's really the main thing I want you to take home with you today. Most of you have probably heard the words of God your entire life, a lot of you have. Now you have to go and keep them. Go and keep them. Notice as you read your Bible where that word "and" comes up. Don't just read quickly over it. Look and see what the person speaking those words are doing. See what they're combining. This morning, if you'd like for us to pray on your behalf, maybe you've only been hearing the words of God and you haven't been finding the doing part in your life. We'd love to pray for you this morning, pray on your behalf. Maybe you feel like you've been doing that repenting. I've repented, I've changed my ways, but have you been baptized? Repent and be baptized is the example we see there. If you'd like to do that this morning, we would love to assist you in that as well. If we can be of any help this morning, please come as we stand and sing this song.